I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is not going to be all office talk with Michael Chavis, is it?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely love it.
Don't get too close to Danielle. She gets very horny when we have when we have players on the show, by the way.
Well, I mean, we were having the office conversation, so I think we're going to be pretty close.
Right?
Yeah. I mean,
you and I are BFF now.
Already.
Yeah. She was all over Ivaldi when he was on the show the other day.
No, I was all over Ivaldi after the show.
Oh. Even more important.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Not literally. Yes.
I mean, where do you rank Michael?
Right up there.
Oh, of course.
But I mean, you know,
he's a little young for you.
Well, aren't they all? Isn't every pro athlete except for Tom Brady, in theory, who's my age? That said, I mean, I don't know if he can compete with Prison Mike.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Prison Mike, he's got that bad boy persona.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't really have that
kind
bad
of bandana esque
boy
thing, but it's not quite the
not
purple
quite
one.
No, not yeah even close.
Right.
And I don't really have the look for it either.
No.
I think I look mean, but I just can't portray it like
you probably
he could
get your ass handed to you in prison.
You can't really
yeah
be
in prison, yeah, for
absolutely
sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You
yeah
can't be mean. You look mean, but you can't be mean.
Yeah, exactly. Like everybody says, I look like an a-hole until
yeah
they talk to me. And I'm like, I agree.
Yeah,
I look in the mirror sometimes. I'm like, dang, dude, why are you mad?
Yeah. You just got one of those faces.
Yeah.
People just are always like, you have RBF. You have resting bitch face.
Yeah, and that's not good for a guy.
Not for a guy
it's
at all.
Resting
no, it's
mad
not
bro face.
Tough.
Yeah.
Poor you.
I like the, maybe the bandana will soften the appearance.
I mean, the bandana is more so for sweat, not for the outward appearance. But
yeah,
we could, hopefully it'll work.
So are you tired of questions about what you guys did wrong last year, or where are you at on that? I'm going to ask all the hard questions.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I'm pretty tired of it. I mean,
yeah,
all last year I was kind of just trying to figure out how things worked. So when I'm getting asked these kind of questions, I'm like, that was my first experience. I don't really know any different.
I asked Jackie Bradley Jr. this when he was here an hour ago or so. Has it been hard to come into spring training with some of this stuff hanging over your guys' heads?
In my opinion, no. I wasn't really involved with any of that kind of stuff, so it's not really something that I really need to be concerned with. But in regards to just the whole picture, I think whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and that's kind of out of our control as a team. So I think just focusing on, one, what we can do as a team, two, individually as players, what we can do, there's not really much we can do about that situation besides take care of what we can control and just prepare for the season. Beyond that, I don't think there's really too much we can do about that.
What about the fact that Alex isn't here? Is that in your mind a big loss for you guys?
Yeah, I believe it is. I hate losing Alex. I was very close to him, and I like and appreciate everything that he did for me. I've thanked him numerous times, and I will continue to be thankful for him and grateful for everything that he did for me. But he helped our team, but specifically me, so much. So just seeing him go, it sucks. It does.
Do you feel like there's a chance he comes back?
Yeah, luckily that's out of my control.
Yeah.
I've said this for a while. I stopped playing GM in low A when I realized that calculating my stats didn't really help me get called up. So luckily that's not something I'm good at or something I'm required to do. So that's not
yeah
that's out of my jurisdiction.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen? Jackie really didn't say anything about this, but like you said, people think you look like an a-hole, so maybe he'll answer
right
this.
Pretend to be one right now.
Yeah, pretend to be one. But what do you think ends up happening when teams are facing the Astros this year?
I mean, I have no idea.
As a player, are you pissed at what they did?
I mean, it's frustrating, but
yeah,
like I said, the biggest thing is I'm purposely trying to stray away from paying attention to what's being said and what's being done about it. Like, whether I'm aware of what's going on or whether I'm angry about what's going on, I don't think that really changes what I'm going to be able to do and what I need to do. I think if anything, it's just more of a distraction. So if what they did is accurate and everything about it is true, then that's enough. I feel like I shouldn't be punished more by being distracted by this stuff now. So I'm just doing what I can to stay focused and let it play its course.
Greg, I think it's safe to say that Michael is a high energy guy.
Yes, he is.
This is the energy Red Sox and our listenership wanted.
Yes. He's bringing that energy right up.
So, Michael, last year you had 18 home runs in less than 350 at bats, and were definitely a spark to the offense early on during the season. How are you looking to carry the momentum you built in a surprising 2019 effort over to 2020?
I think one of the big keys for me is just having had some experience and knowing not only what to expect and what the day-to-day life is, but also just knowing that I belong. Last year, it's my debut and my debut season, essentially. So a lot of it was kind of like, I'd call it like a trial and error experience where seeing how the major league life is, seeing how major league pitching is, scouting reports are completely different when you go from the minor leagues to big leagues. So just there were so many things that I needed to learn and then adjust as well. So, just getting into this season and being able to relax, know that I have a position, know that if I take care of business, I'm going to not be worried about being sent down, not going to be feeling like I'm fighting for my life every single day. So I think just having that relaxed mindset and more calm approach, I think that's going to help a lot.
You're going to split time between first and second?
Am I or do I want to?
No, you are, right?
Sure. As long as I'm in the lineup, I'm going
to
be happy.
Yeah, is that difficult to do? Do you need to know where you're playing every day, or does it not matter to you?
Ideally, it'd be nice to know where you're going to play every day, but they do a good job of communicating that so that I have time. A lot of times they'll tell me the day before, so I have a night or so to prepare. But then the big part is just BP and all the stuff before the game so that I can do my work and my practice at that position so that I can get the footwork, I can get the positioning and everything like that, the reads off the bat. And it was something that I needed to learn. I started playing different positions that in the GCL, actually, because I was drafted as a shortstop, played third base as well, so I was flipping between that, and I struggled with changing the positions. And then I probably got good at it around high A, double A-ish.
Same thing with me in Little League, where I was a catcher, and then if they needed to get me in for playing time in the ninth inning, they just throw me in.
That's so wild. It's the exact same thing.
Throw me in anywhere.
Yeah, it's that kid in right field. It's like, oh, he needs an inning. Let's put him in right field and hope they don't do anything over there. Well,
you're looking at a career throw him in right field guy.
Heck,
if I could actually play the game because my head was so big, they couldn't find helmets big enough to fit my head. I kid you not.
It was probably just because your arm. You had a great arm. They put him in right. That's 100%.
I had a cannon.
Yeah.
They called
absolute
me
cannon.
Mookie before Mookie was Mookie.
How big of a loss is Mookie?
I think everybody's so caught up on the field aspect of Mookie, and it's kind of frustrating me because I just get frustrated when everybody just forgets that we're humans. It's just something personal for me, like when people just forget that we're humans, we have no feelings and everything like that. So I just get frustrated that nobody talks about his impact to the team in the clubhouse and just to everybody that he comes in contact with. He's such a kind and genuine person. I just don't like people being like, oh, who's going to hit leadoff? I hate that we're going to have to face him in LA. It's more so like he's an awesome dude and he does a lot for this team within the clubhouse and for the fans. I feel like we should address that as well, more so than just, darn, we're going to miss him in the lineup. Like, he's an awesome guy and I feel like that should be addressed as well. Like, part of his insane value is him as a person.
Well, and you kind of got that impression from Ortiz, of all people, who talked a lot about that. Who do you think replaces him from a leadership perspective? Or who's that guy in the clubhouse?
That's tough to say. Not even everybody's here yet.
Yeah.
So we haven't even done things like PFPs involving pitchers and position players. So we haven't really had a whole lot of full team interaction yet. So it's tough to say exactly who that'll be.
Jackie actually spoke to that earlier in the first part of his interview. He called it a family, and he said that it's difficult when you've got a family and there are guys that you spend so much time with, that you develop this fraternity with, to see it broken up like that was difficult, but it's a game and it's a business, and that side of it's got to be tough, especially for an emotional guy like you, I imagine.
Absolutely, and I think that might be part of why that aspect is like important to me. I talk about it a lot. If you add it up, we spend more time with the team in the clubhouse than we do with our actual family, and that's just the fact because of travel, how long the season is, everything like that. So this idea that we are a family, it isn't just eyewasher, like, we're a family, we're trying to be friends. It's not that. It's like, we actually spend so much time together, and if you're almost forced just by being around somebody so much to actually care about them, which isn't a negative thing at all. If anything, it helps the camaraderie within the clubhouse.
Can you tell us a little bit about Dahlbeck? If you spend a lot of time around him, we keep hearing that the big bat is going to make a big impact this year.
Absolutely, yeah. I haven't spent a whole lot of time with him just because the levels have been a little bit different, but from interacting with him from the small time we had in Pawtucket together and I don't think we played together in Double A, but we played in like instructs and things like that, and just interacted within the clubhouse here. I know he's a very good dude. He has a great personality as well. But you saw last year in spring training, he had a couple bombs. I think in the first game, he had a home run to center or something like that. So the power is absolutely there. And he's one thing I like about him that a lot of media and fans don't really get to see is that they get to see like the results on the field and how far the ball goes and how nice his swing is. And that's just with everybody. You don't get to see like the work that's put in and all the behind the scenes. Like, he's actually a really intelligent hitter, and he actually really likes learning about hitting, similar to me. That's why he and I kind of click. It's always an opportunity to learn, whether you're talking to somebody who's not a great hitter or whether you're talking to the best hitter ever. Just getting that kind of insight to what they're thinking, what they're trying to do within their swing, right, and just learning how other people think, whether it's right, wrong, good, bad. I think just learning that, you can take little pieces and learn from anything. And I think that's something that he does as well. So I think that kind of stuff is really interesting, and it doesn't get as much light as the on-field performance.
Who'd you get that from?
Me?
Yeah.
Me. It's just something I started doing.
So you didn't, from a mentor perspective or somebody that you learned it from, it's all you?
No, it's not all me, but in that aspect of the desire to learn about hitting and wanting to talk about hitting, that actually just stems from my passion. Like, when I was in trouble when I was a kid growing up, I wouldn't get video games taken away. I wouldn't be allowed to go hit. I didn't play video games. So, like, when I wanted to go have fun, I went and hit. And that started when I was 8. All the way through now.
Did you have a parent who was like Frank Edelman with Julian Edelman, who was out there every day driving you?
Yeah. I mean, I had a lucky situation where I grew up in, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the area, East Cobb and East Cobb baseball. So I grew up at Sprayberry High School, which is 10 minutes from East Cobb, which at the time was like, I guess you could call it like a mecca for travel baseball, which looking back can be a mess, just travel baseball at 9 years old. You'd think you'd get a javelin thrown at you by an angry parent. Like, you can get walked.
They're so angry because they have to drive so much.
Yeah, but, dude, I mean, you know, the travel baseball is so wild now. You have these parents with boom boxes like they're in the 80s or something like that, playing walk-up songs for their 8-year-old kid.
Oh, my God.
And they strike out, and they're slamming the bat. It's like, it's ridiculous.
I know, but think about it. Like, you were playing travel baseball at 9 years old.
That's what I'm talking about. Like,
Listen, it paid off for you. But how many other kids have gone through that, and it doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
So do you think that's, like, do you think that the parental involvement in sports is an issue? Like, the overly involved parents are an issue? Like, if you're playing a walk-up song for your kid at 8 years old, like, it's an issue?
See, I'm saying that's going to be an issue, but I can totally see myself at, like, 40 years old picking my son's walk-up song. Be like, trust me, it's going to be dope. Just trust me, it's going to be cool.
Have you picked yours for this season?
I was thinking about keeping the same one as last year, but I might try and mix in a second one. You know, just a late inning alternate.
Yeah.
But
we'll see. What genre?
So, being from my kind of area in Georgia, I have, like, the southern influences of Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, the redneck that everybody pictures of the hot Georgia sun and all that. But then we're also so close to Atlanta that we have the hip-hop and rap influences. So, I'm very spread out on the spectrum. So, like, if you click shuffle, I'm that annoying dude where if you go and shuffle on my playlist, you're like, dude, can we just stay, like, remotely close to the same song for a little bit? So, you need to make a playlist for sure, but... My music just goes all over the place, so there's no telling.
What are your three favorite artists?
If
you could only have three, Michael
Chase. Okay, let's see. Big fan of Brantley Gilbert, so some country.
Yeah.
I do like Future, the rapper. But the thing with rap is I feel like rap and hip-hop is kind of in a weird place where everybody's getting into mumbling and auto-tune and not actually rapping. And they're more so caught up on just making the beat and
sounds.
They're not like words. Yeah. And it's like, it rhymes, but that's not a legitimate word.
Right.
And you didn't really say a sentence. Like, there were words put together and it made sense phonetically, but it didn't form a sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the kind of issue that I have with rap right now.
All right. So we got two.
We need a third. Let's see. You know, Andy from The Office has a really good voice.
Yeah.
Since we're staying on the topic.
Exactly.
Ed Helms?
Ed Helms. Great voice,
he's
great
got
actor.
Good pipes. Yeah, yeah.
Great teeth, too.
Yeah.
You know, real good smile.
Yeah.
Absurdly good teeth.
I had braces for like 4 years, so I got an appreciation for teeth.
So are you like Danielle, where you've watched it through multiple times?
So I have an issue where I'll finish a show, no matter what the show is, and every time I'm in the in-between phase of, like, I need to find another show, I need to work on something else, it's almost like Bible where I have to watch The Office before I start a new show. It's like the reset.
Yeah.
So you go back to it.
Every time. And it's not on purpose. It's like, you know, I don't really know what I want to watch. Let's put something on. And I just put on The Office. Next thing I know, season 7. Gotta finish it. I'm a month into this. I gotta keep going.
But don't you, when you get to season 7, don't you start wanting to bail? Because after Michael left, I feel like the whole dynamic, you know, they brought in like Nellie and Robert California and Gabe and just that whole transition period. Like, I feel like seasons 8 and 9 were just.
They were, but like, I have such a dedication. I can't give up. I can't give up on those guys. I'm emotionally involved. I feel like I know them. I've never met them, but I know them.
It's nice when they brought everybody back in at the end for the wedding and everything. Yeah, and so the Michael surprise.
I can go the opposite of this. You know, they're not real humans.
No, they're not.
Just actors.
Yeah, they're just actors.
John Krasinski, whatever
Krasinski.
His name is. Yeah. He's Jim.
Yeah.
Even when he was
He'll always be Jim. No, he's not Jack Ryan. He's
not
Jim
Jack
Albert.
Ryan. Yeah, exactly. He's like, dude, put your freaking vest on.
Right.
Come
what
on.
Are you doing? Stop.
Why
that.
Are you holding a gun? You're not cool like
you're
that.
You're 3-hole punch, Jim.
Where's your daughter? Like,
someone kidnapped your kid at the church. Yeah. What's happening?
Oh, this is your dream, Danielle.
Literally, we are best friends.
This
now.
Is the dream.
Is the
I hope you're enjoying this, Ken.
I'm gonna be at Fenway. Like, hey, Michael, remember that? Didn't Scott's tots suck?
Oh my gosh! Like, I don't get uncomfortable for people. That episode, the whole time, I'm just like, come on, we got to figure this out.
It's cringe.
How do we get to this point? Like,
there's got to be a heavy metal cover of the Office theme song that you could play as a walk-up.
Maybe
that would be. Amazing.
There needs to be.
That would be. I just wanted to ask you a quick question about faith and your role and sort of rather what role faith plays in your day to day life and as a ball player. You know, I know it's a big deal for you. You're an intense guy too. How do you balance the two, and what does it mean to you on the field?
See, am I intense or is it just the face?
It's the face.
I like the intensity.
Why is Michael Chavis always so mad?
Yeah, exactly. I'm smiling on the inside.
What a jerk.
But my faith is important for me. I grew up kind of in a weird spiritual situation where, like, I went to a Catholic church, but I actually went to a Baptist school. So when people ask me, even to this day, like, what religion are you? I'll say Christian. They're like, oh, like, what kind of domination? And I just say I don't really have a domination,
right.
a denomination. I kind of just claim Christianity. Yeah. I feel like so many people get split between, like, oh, I'm Catholic, oh, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, that they kind of lose focus. And I feel like there's a lot of people that get segregated within Christianity.
For sure.
When we're all praising God.
Right.
And I feel we get so caught up on the specifics of, like, this is how you take communion, this is how you do this, and this, and this, and this. And I feel like we should just focus more so on we're all praising God.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, we're trying to represent and be Christ-like. And I feel like we get so caught up on the other stuff that we don't even form the most powerful group, I guess, would be like a comparison for it. But I just think there are so many distractions and on purpose, just people try to get away from that and they try to minimize Christianity these days. And it's a little frustrating.
Let's see. Here's a 508 text. If Michael asked you to marry him, would you say yes?
I mean, 24 is a little.
It's a little young.
I mean, I don't even do 34. 24 might be tough, but there would be no. We would both sit. They would if we were together.
But you have the office in common.
Here's the thing.
That's a good start.
We do. It is.
And like, that's a good start.
And then we also have the problem of both having resting B face. People would be like, Michael Chavis and Danielle Murr are the most miserable couple.
Right, they're
I'm
an
like,
angry
we're actually
couple.
The nicest people on the planet. We just look miserable.
Plus, you were.
Perception.
Right. Oh, it is. See, yeah, exactly. And you work mornings, he works nights. It's just
that actually would work out well. If you don't see each other very often, that's one of the keys to a successful relationship. That and separate bedrooms.
Separate bedrooms, you know, we never really hang out. When we do, we watch The Office.
Right.
Yeah. How's your relationship? Great.
We watch The Office again. What'd you guys do?
We watch television together. Watch television together.
We're like tweeting at each other about The Office.
I feel like that's where we all end up anyway. That's where it all ends up at the end of the day.
This is just one big Netflix and chill, my man.
Exactly. That's all it is. That's what life is. That's what we get down to.
So do you feel like the expectations for this team are lower or higher than they were last year?
So I wasn't even here for the beginning of the season last year to know what the expectations were, but coming off the World Series champions, I would assume they were decently high.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Are you asking about my expectations or like the perception from the fans and everybody else?
I'm asking if you look at kind of the subtractions, right? So you look at Mookie and DP, as JBJ referred to him.
Mm-hmm.
You look at losing those guys. You look at the change with the manager. I think there are some fans who might be like, all right, you know, our expectations just dropped on how good this Red Sox team is going to be this year.
I'm sure there's a decent amount of that from the fans and everything like that, but I feel like this isn't just with the fan base or just with sports. I feel like in general, you hear the loudest voices are almost always the most drastic. In all scenarios, I feel like the person screaming the loudest is the one that thinks everybody's going to die immediately.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what we're hearing a lot of right now. I also feel like a lot of people like to jump on bandwagons of the easy assumptions. It's real easy to say, oh, we lost Mookie Betts, one of the best players in baseball, and David Price, one of the best pitchers and one of the best personalities within the clubhouse. It's like, I feel like it's so easy just to be like, oh, abandoned ship. See you in 2021. But we still have a really good team, and I feel like it's just so easy for people to assume and just to write it off. And I don't like to take the easy way out with most things, and I feel like so many people just do the easiest thing in general just because it's easy. I feel like that's why a lot – this is going to get deep for a second, but I feel like a lot of people are unhappy just because it's easy to be unhappy. I feel like that kind of goes hand in hand. It takes no effort to be like, damn, today sucks. But, like, if something bad happens and to flip it around and be like, I'm going to be happy even though this is an unfortunate situation, I feel like that's tough to do, and that's why people don't do it.
And then there's people who look unhappy when they're really not unhappy.
Exactly. It's like I'm doing all this effort to be happy through tough situations, and I still look unhappy. I'm just wasting my time.
Michael Chavis, poised for breakout season, could never work on this show.
Seriously. Yeah. That guy's way too happy for this.
Yeah, you're way too positive.
You can't do sports radio.
Go home.
Get out of here, optimist. Who do you think you are?
Let's see. How do you feel? Texter wants to know if you want Brock to be back.
I love Brock. Brock helped me a lot at second base last year, actually. Last year was obviously my first time playing second base ever. My first time was playing in the big league, so that wasn't nerve-wracking at all.
No.
But Brock actually took me under his wing and taught me a lot about the footwork and receiving at second base for double plays and stuff like that. That was something I struggled with. There's a bunch of reasons I can go into. Just nobody's going to care about those small details. So, but his
Greg is a sports hardo. He will.
But I think everybody knows how important Brock is to the clubhouse. I mean, his personality. Like you're talking about optimist. There's Brock Holt. He's always happy. He always has like a good. I guess perception. I use that word a lot, but there's a better word for it. But forget it. I didn't go to college.
Same.
Neither did Greg.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
I didn't even graduate from high school.
You're worse than me. There's a word for it, but we don't need it.
He's got a great disposition.
Sure. Yeah absolutely. Yeah. Sprayberry High School. You got to be careful with those people.
He looks happy.
Yeah, he looks so happy all the time.
Well, and I think what he did with the Jimmy Fund and those kids is amazing.
And Griff. I mean, he was part of the team, too. Everybody loved Griff. They need to get him his own Instagram page if they don't already.
Yeah. He should be the manager.
One day.
What do you think about Ron before you go?
I love I call him Rags. I'm not sure if everybody
Rags?
Knows him as Rags.
All right, now we'll call him
kind
of
how I was
Now Nick will call him Rags.
Sure.
From here on out.
I'm BFFs with Rags.
But Ron is an awesome guy. I know he has managerial experience previously, and, I mean, his knowledge of baseball is off the charts. But one of the things I like most about him is he's an older person, but he isn't so caught up on the old school way of baseball. He has a really good understanding of that, but he's also open and learning and knowledgeable about the current baseball game. And I mean, that sounds dumb just because the game of baseball is fairly similar for the past 100 years. But within how pitchers are pitching or how hitters are approaching the game with their swing or sequencing or anything like that, he's really knowledgeable about the old school way and combining it with the new school way. So he's not just cookie cutting things on this is the one way to do it and this is how you have to do it. He understands how each players are different and how that the game is changing and just being having this way that works for one player, he's not going to force everybody to do that. And he understands that other people have different approaches, different feels, and different thought processes.
Worst thing that's been said to you by a Boston fan?
Oh, Lord.
You look like Dwight.
Oh, my goodness. That would be a tough one. Now somebody's totally going to say that to me, and I'm going to blame you.
It's going to be me.
Honestly, I don't know what the worst thing is.
I mean, do you hear him? Like when
sometimes I try to you know, my mom has always said that I have a good ability of tuning people out.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if I believe her because I would never tune her out when she's yelling or anything
no,
like that.
Never.
But she doesn't yell. She's an angel. She doesn't yell.
Of course
ever.
She is.
But you know, we don't need to bring up the negatives. You know, I'm a positive person. We're going to stay positive. All
right,
Boston fans say I love you and I'm glad you're here no matter how you're playing. That's
it
all I've
matter.
Heard.
Doesn't matter if you're struggling against lefties.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I remember walking down the street 0-for-5 and they said, "Hey, good effort tonight." That's what I heard.
That's what you heard.
Yeah.
Wow, we live in different Bostons.
Yeah, I don't know where y'all are at, but I get a lot of support on those tough nights.
Positive and delusional.
Yeah. Nobody's tweeting negative things.
Never.
Ever.
All right.
Well, especially after I posted, glad we signed Mookie back. I didn't catch any crap for that.
Man.
I was so close to deleting that post. People are still commenting. That didn't pan out well. No crap, dude.
Don't bring it up 15 years from now, dude.
It's a cute picture. Right. You know what? Let's appreciate the cute picture. Right. Me and Mookie are hugging. Let's be happy about that.
No. Let's be miserable.
See, that's the reality right there.
That is it right there.
What have you done for me lately?
Exactly.
All right. Well, listen, good luck this year. Thanks for coming up. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was awesome.
You and Danielle can communicate about The Office.
Yes,
and are you watching anything before you go? You watching anything good that we should be watching right now?
I'm honestly watching The Office right now.
You watching The Outsider by any chance on HBO? Or
The Office? I'm on season 3. Started it on season 2 because I didn't want to watch season 1 with the introductions.
It's
stuff
bad
like that.
Lighting, and Michael's hairline is also off.
Yeah, and his suit's too big.
It
you
is.
Know? Well, I'm being a little judgmental here, but
yeah. That's okay. Everybody's saying my shirt is too small today, so
that's
fine. Don't worry about it.
You just got to offset it with short shorts.
Short shorts.
Show some more thigh.
Show more thigh.
Exactly. You don't got to do ab curls if you're doing squats.
Ah,
that's it. That's
maybe I'll come down there and work out with the fellas after the radio.
After the radio show.
Right. You got a Peloton down there?
You are so far out over your skis right now.
We'll save you a bench on the med staff.
Yeah, just come down there later and work out with you guys.
He's not deadlifting. He's just dead.
All right, Michael. Thank you very much.
Thank you again. I appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.